The Connor Coal Company and the dealers of Olga Coal present The Mummers in the Little Theater of the Air.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, by now, we're getting a bit used to winter. We're like soldiers in the middle of a campaign. Now, we're getting a bit used to comfort and better able to take it. And looking with longing toward the day when the war is won and there'll be plenty of everything again, including that good Olga Coal. But like good soldiers, we can't afford to let down now that victory is in sight. We must work harder than ever to get every bit of heat from the coal we get, make it go further and use less. We must figuratively tighten the belts on our coal bins and wade into old man winter with a little less fuel and a little more heat from every ton. That can help make Hitler's ghost walk, which brings me to the hermit who is ready with a ghost story for you right now.
Glad that you two people came to me to talk this matter over.
Well, we're glad, Dr. Thorndyke, that there is someone we can talk with before we go to see Uncle Hanson.
I'm really all against going up to
talk with before we go to
Marionfield, because it was the father's last request before he died that she see him. We decided to make the trip.
I understand.
We might as well tell Dr. Thorndyke the truth, Douglas. My father also said that Uncle Hanson has a great deal of money. He felt that it should be left to Douglas and me.
You were the only rightful heir.
Dad said that if Uncle Hanson knew us, got acquainted with us, he might come to his senses and leave some of it to us.
You make it sound awfully mercenary, Marilyn.
Well, it should belong to me. Uncle Hanson cheated my father out of part of the estate.
Yes, I remember. You see, Mr. Randall, your wife's uncle and I went to...
When we planned to leave New York and come to see him, I thought it best that we write to you first and find out about Uncle Hanson.
I'm glad you did.
Marion wrote to her uncle and never heard from him.
So, here we are in Mohawk. And Dr. Thorndyke, you said in your letter that Uncle Hanson was very quick, that you wouldn't advise us to stay at his house.
True.
So, before we go there, Douglas thought you should explain to us.
Just what is wrong with him, Dr. Thorndyke?
Well, first of all, no one in Mohawk ever goes to see him. Second, he lives in an old, bleak house that in itself has a grim past.
House?
I think I'm the one who is queer when I tell you this. But there is scarcely a person here who doesn't believe that the house is haunted.
Some old superstition, huh?
Yes. But as far as I can see, it must have some truth to it.
And Uncle Hanson is there all alone?
No. An old servant, a shy, crafty, almost demented-looking fellow, lives there with him. I don't want to frighten you unnecessarily, but 2 years ago, I made a visit at the old house.
You saw Uncle Hanson?
Yes, at his request. You see, while your uncle and I were studying in medical school together, he had begun to show signs of strangeness.
Yes?
He was experimenting with a strange theory. He believed that he could recall from the dead the soul of some individual, and that the soul he recalled could return to the body of some person living in the present. Oh, he was very serious about it.
But why work on such an inhuman theory?
Because he felt that to return a soul from the dead was the only way of perpetuating life. If he could recall from the dead a soul that had passed beyond before its time, and could get it to live in another body, then the person could go on living. He claimed that someday he would prove it. He claimed that he himself would never die, for he would get some dead soul to occupy his body. This way, he might retain perpetual life.
It's all pretty awful. muddled.
Life.
It's all pretty awful.
Brett.
I started to tell you 2 years ago. His old servant brought me a letter asking me to come that particular evening and see Dr. Hansen. I drove over to his house that night. Walked the floor. It's Dr. Thorndyke.
Yes, I see. Come in.
Keep it dark in here. I can't see where I'm going.
We don't care for the light.
Will you tell Dr. Hansen that I'm here?
He expects you. You can follow me up these stairs.
Can we have a light?
Your eyes will grow accustomed to the darkness as I do.
Almost clawed at me. There. I felt it again. Something touched my face again. Hello, Philip.
Eugene Thorndyke.
Yes.
I sent for you to prove my theory to you, Dr. Thorndyke.
Yes.
You don't look at me as if you've heard everything.
I'm not crazy.
I never thought you were demented. Only obsessed.
Dr. Thorndyke was visited by one of the wandering spirits on the way upstairs.
Something cold brushed against my face, if that's what you mean.
Spirits that roam this house were trying to become to you. Trying to get into your body. Trying to give you new life. You're lucky.
So... you're still working on that old theory, are you?
Working? I haven't practically.
Now listen, Phyllis, if this is what you call me over tonight for, I can't stay and listen. I have calls to make.
You always scoffed at me, didn't you? Never believed I could do it.
Why would you want to do it, Phyllis?
I have found a young soul that died.
Would you want to do it?
The spirit of a man who was stabbed by his own wife.
What do you mean?
In this very house. Yes, he lived here. We know. Don't we know, Fred?
No.
A young man who was stabbed by his wife. She went to prison for it.
I remember the story.
What about the spirit of that man I'm able to recall? He did not know.
Philip, this is nonsense.
I'm about ready to call that spirit forth and get it to take abode in my body.
Philip Hansen, I won't stay here and listen to such a balderdash.
You know what it will mean to me. I shall never die. Never. Once I recalled one spirit to come and live in my body, I can recall others. One spirit to not see it. I shall never die. I shall have years and years to use my money. No one will be able to take it from me. It shall be mine for years to come. Long after you are dead.
I have no desire to live beyond my time.
After you are dead.
I have. I'm going.
Now wait. I shall show you my experiment. Then you can go if you wish.
What do you have cooking in this kettle? And in these test tubes?
The essence of spirit. Turn down all the lights, please. Now I shall pass my body through the fumes coming from the steaming kettle. I shall put the fumes all about myself. To make no sound. Now.
There is something moving there in the darkness. I see it.
Quiet.
Where's the door? Let me out of here. I shan't stay another minute. Let me out of here. Get away from me, whatever you are. Get away. Where's the door? I've got to get away. I've got
Get away. Get away from here.
Something he and his demented servant has conjured up to frighten people away. The hermit will tell you before the night is done.
Well, when it comes to frightening people, I'm not very good, but I'm a whiz at encouraging them, and that's what I hope I've done for you. I hope I've encouraged you to be better soldiers on the home front with these little lectures on how to save Olga Cole and to cooperate with your friend, the Olga Cole dealer. Suppose we look at the situation this way. We'd all like to do more to help win the war, so suppose we imagine we're all soldiers, and the Olga coal dealer is the supply sergeant. He's in it along with the rest of us, and he can't give out any more coal than he gets. All he wants to do is equip your coal bin to the best of his ability, and that's what he's doing. He gets gripes from every side, but he's delivering the coal as fast as he gets it, and he's trying to do so in a way that gives everyone his fair share. So don't be too hard on your Olga sergeant, folks. I know none of you envy him, and I know he wants to keep on serving you after the war is won in the manner to which you once were accustomed. So as you sit with your sweaters on and look at that thinly lined coal bin, think of the day when it will all be over. And you can once more take coal in hand and say, I want a whole bin full of that good Olga coal. That's right, the kind spelled O-L-G-A. Well, come on in, Hermit. You haven't even been here, and we've been telling ourselves stories.
And now to Darien and Randall. Dr. Thorndyke of the town of Ulla goes on telling the story of Marion's strange Uncle Hanson.
Sure, I ran out of that house yelling.
Man, this is positively crazy.
That's what I thought. But he did conjure up something. I saw it.
It's unbelievable.
I know it is. That's why I hated to tell the authorities. But I finally did ask them to go up there and investigate.
What did they
say? They saw him in the afternoon. They said he was sitting downstairs reading and acted perfectly normal.
What do you think?
But the report that he was perfectly harmless. Merely a wealthy, eccentric old man who makes a study of dead spirits.
Why didn't you ever write my father in the business?
See how impossible it sounds.
Yes, of course.
The more I thought about it, the more like a bad dream it seemed to be. I began to feel as if I was the crazy one.
Dr. Thorndyke, have you seen my uncle since?
No, not since.
Do you think he would harm us?
Oh, I hope his mind is weak, but I think he's harmless.
We went to see him in the daytime. There'd be no danger, would there?
I don't think so. But I thought you wanted to know my story first.
Marion, you don't want to go up to the house after hearing Dr. Thorndyke's story.
If Dr. Thorndyke thinks he's harmless and to pay him a visit wouldn't be easy.
It's up to you, Marion.
I think we'll go tomorrow. And thank you, Dr. Thorndyke, for telling us his story.
Perhaps it's all over now. It may be it was only shadow. Natural shadows and natural sounds that I heard and saw in that old house. Yet it was such a weird experience. I shall never forget.
Are you nearly ready to go down to dinner, Douglas?
Yes, dear. Just fixing my tie.
You know, the more I think about it, the more it seems as if Dr. Thorndyke owes him in it.
I know it.
He's been visiting here 3 days at Uncle Henson's, and I haven't seen him do one strange thing.
Only this creaky old house gives me the jitters in the night.
Oh, it's like all old houses.
I could have sworn someone opened our door in the night and crept in.
It's the story Thorndyke told. We're too much on our guard. Everything has a double meaning to us now.
Maybe you're right.
Sure, I am. Uncle Henson has been awfully kind to us, and so pleased to see you.
Uh-huh.
Even this old servant of his isn't bad. He's been kind, too.
He cooks good meals for an old duffer, doesn't he?
Yes. And do you know what he said to me, Douglas?
What?
Well, he told me yesterday that Uncle Hanson was so glad we came to see him. So glad that you and I were sensible.
Uh-huh.
And that now he could die peacefully, knowing that we wouldn't waste his money for him.
Well, it's all turning out better than I anticipated.
Well, you ready to go down with him?
All ready.
He still works in his laboratory long hours, doesn't he?
Yes.
I asked him last night to let me see it, and he said perhaps he might tonight.
Why do you want to go up there?
Oh, just to see what he does. You can see that he's completely forgotten trying to restore dead spirits. I'm not afraid of him, honey.
I guess you're right.
So, I just want to see what he does do up there in that room. Maybe we can tonight. Bedside table.
I can't find a thing groping around in this dark.
You just got yourself up there from visiting Uncle's laboratory. He did have the most queer-looking gadgets up there, didn't he?
Yes. Now, if I can only find a match. Darn it. Where did that wind come from? It blew the light right out.
Oh, why don't you forget it? You just heard some board creak. There isn't anything in here.
Darn funny creaks.
Strange how you're more upset than I am.
I'd just as soon move out any time, I can tell you.
I'm not frightened anymore. Good night, dear.
Good night. Now, what was that sound? Marion, something cold passed over my throat. Marion.
Douglas, what is it?
Voice. It's getting lighter. Can you see?
Over there. The shadow is taking form. Look.
There is some light.
My wife killed me long ago, did you? Well, she didn't. I killed myself.
Oh, look.
I tried to kill her just as I'm going to kill you, Frey.
No.
Yes, just as I'm going to kill you now.
Have mercy. Take out the engine. Come back. Take your spirit out of your body. He's going to kill me. Help!
You wanted to bring me back, didn't you?
Save me! Save me! Help!
Mary,
help!
Don't move. Stand right where we are. I'll see if I can save you.
Help me! Help me!
Hurry up. Here, this way. Here. Now, stand back and be out of the way.
Oh, look.
I couldn't kill my wife long years ago. I can't kill you. But I can kill myself again. Yeah.
What is she doing?
You brought me back into your body, Dr. Hansen, only so that I might kill myself again. Now the dagger through my heart.
She killed herself.
Here, let me light a candle so that I can see. There's a candle.
Here, yeah, Douglas. He's on the floor, dead. The dagger through his heart.
Let it be killed. Let it dead when it was living.
Will it give me comfort?
Or that?
Look, only Uncle Hansen here. He's killed himself, and he tried to kill his servant.
We did hear another voice, didn't we?
Of course you did. It was the spirit that wanders this house. And the Dr. Hansen tried to get into his own body.
Oh, it's so terrible.
But it didn't work. It didn't work like he thought. The spirit came back and did the same deed all over.
Turn on your lights. Turn them on.
You have just listened to the 406th story by the Hermit, made possible through the courtesy of the Carter Coal Company, producer of Olga Coal, and your friend, the Olga Coal dealer. That word friend is full of meaning for you these days. The dictionary defines it as one who entertains for another such sentiments of esteem, respect, and affection that he seeks his society and welfare. Now, isn't that just about a perfect definition of the man who looks after your coal needs? I don't really have to tell you that you can trust your Olga dealer to look out for your interests. You know he appreciates your patronage and wants to keep you on his side. Sure, I know, nowadays he can't always give you as much coal as you'd like, as promptly as you'd like it. He can't always even give you the kind of coal you'd like or the size you'd prefer. But you can count on him to do his best. In these war days, that's all anyone can do. So don't shop around for coal. That does no good, just causes a lot of confusion. And above all, don't get panicky about deliveries. After all, these shortages are never as bad as you think they'll be. Still eating and wearing shoes and clothing, aren't you, in spite of what you've heard? Well, the chances are you'll not freeze either. And remember the reason for all the shortages. What you don't get is going to help those boys of yours and ours at the fighting front. By saving every bit of coal you can, you're doing your part on the home front. And remember, when you do order coal, ask for Olga Coal, spelled O-L-G-A by name. Olga Coal is a good buy because of its smokeless, dustless, economical qualities, so keep on asking for it. And keep on buying war stamps and bonds till it hurts the enemy so badly he'll throw up his hands and surrender. Buying war stamps and bonds is one way that everyone can help win the war, regardless of age, health, means, or occupation. Every penny you citizens of the United States and Canada put into war stamps and bonds weighs the balance that much further in our favor against the Japs and Nazis. Buy war stamps and bonds, and don't stop until the enemy gives up.
And the Hermit has more stories for you. Listen in again next week for my howling. I'll tell you the story of the devil dog. I'll be back. Pleasant dreams.
Characters, places, and occurrences mentioned in the Hermit's Cave are fictitious, and similarity to persons, places, or occurrences is purely accidental. Jack Lellman speaking.